I'm trying to understand what is proper autonomy and and how is that ultimately carried out? Because of course we can understand that. Okay, so it's great. I mean, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. So
There's a balance.
is the fact that Krishna ultimately, I don't want anyone to tell me what to do because
Well, not
I
really.
or
Not really. I mean, there's all kinds of situations where we do want people to tell us what to do.
yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone is, I mean, most people, most devotees are not such complete egomaniacs that you never want anyone. It's like we stop and ask directions, and we want the pilot to tell us when we're going to hit some turbulent air and when to put the seatbelt on. And it's, you know, medical advice. There's all kinds of situations where we do want expert information, and there are situations where we recognize that someone, you know, just sometimes it's too much trouble to figure out everything yourself. I'd rather just, like, if I really want to get somewhere on time, I don't want to just explore the city looking for the road. I just want to know where it is. So, just as in us, in a normal, healthy person, there's a balance between autonomy and society. And having appropriate relationships in which we take help from other people, just as we help others. I mean, after all, we could hardly imagine a life where we never help anyone, and yet when you help someone, does that mean you're interfering with that person's autonomy because you help someone? Is every act of kindness actually an interference or an imposition? I mean, obviously not. So there's a balance between autonomy and society, community, where we obviously help each other. It's really a healthy life is about maintaining the balance. It's not like I'm absolutely autonomous. I mean, that's ridiculous. If the trucks don't bring the food into the shops, you know, stores every day, you'll starve. Someone turns the lights on to make sure, you know, the water is there when you need it. So, I mean, we shouldn't exaggerate our autonomy. At the same time, it's like, you know, it's like if for some reason, you know, the plumbing goes out, you just want someone to fix it. It's not like, excuse me, I don't want a plumber, that would interfere with my autonomy. At the same time, we have to be ourselves. We have to be, you know, we want to be strong as people, and then we want to do whatever we're able to do by ourselves. And ultimately, in a society, people should guide other people or to the extent they need it. We should help other people. Like, if you see someone walking down the street, you don't go to the person and say, excuse me, can I help you across the street? I mean, you're in great shape and you're out for a walk, but can I help you? It's like inappropriate. Like, what are you doing? The person doesn't need you to walk. Or can I help you drink that 7-Up there? Want me to hold the bottle for you? Want me to tilt your head back? No, I want you to get out of here. So, helping someone when they don't need help is just, so it's a balance. We should be as strong as we can, as autonomous as we can be, and where we actually need help, we should take it. Ultimately, the decision to take help or not should be based on the practical circumstances, not on vanity, or not on emotional weakness, that just because I could do it myself, but because I'm somehow emotionally weak, I have to let someone else do it for me or help me or show me how to do it, even though I could do it myself. Or the other extreme, where I really need help, but I'm too stupidly proud to accept the help that I actually need. This is balance.
But you can see, as a conditioned soul, we may have desires to do certain types of services, and Krishna may or may not grant us that wish or desire. And we can see, well, that's because he knows what we need for our purification.
Yeah, maybe it may be the wrong time, it needs to be the wrong thing.
But when one is completely pure, then there is complete freedom.
Because there's also complete intelligence.
Yeah.
It's just common sense, like raising a child. The more the child actually knows what he or she is doing, the more the parents let the children make their own decisions if they actually know what they're doing. The extent to which the child is childish, parents have to guide. It's just simple, common sense. Krishna is just a parent. The extent to which you're intelligent, you can do the right thing. Krishna lets you do it by yourself. The extent to which you'll do the wrong thing, he has to intervene. Second birth, and you spiritually grow up. Anything else?
I guess so. Back to the discussion: do we like things because we like them, or do we like them because Krishna likes them?
Both. How can a living person not have preferences?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you be alive and not just prefer certain things? Whether it's a color, or food, or scenery, or friend. Even in the spiritual world, even among the great devotees, you know, certain people just have a special affinity. People prefer, I mean, after all, to be a Krishna's friend or lover or parent or whatever, that's a preference. So how could you be a person and not have any, and not be a person? How could a person just be like a robot? Has no preferences, no tendencies, no propensities, no nature. Purity doesn't mean to have no nature, it just means whatever you are, dedicated to Krishna. As long as we can't give up too easily, and if we haven't made a really serious effort to do so. But there's a time, and sometimes there's a time for things. There are services I really wanted to do, and I had to wait, because it just wasn't the right time. But eventually I was able to do them. So the fact that you don't do something immediately doesn't mean you're not going to do it. It's just have to. If you really want to do something for Krishna, just see when the right time is. And look for opportunities. And also, if we haven't made a serious effort, then we don't know if Krishna wanted that. If we give up too easily.
Interesting on the recording.
The noise you were hearing. Was. Is there anything else?
So one should be... One's happy as a servant because that's just the way it is.
One's what?
One is happy as a servant because that's just
That's so love. Natural. I mean, love brings happiness.
I know, but love to me seems like more of a compromise than.
Love is a compromise. What does that mean? The idea is we're supposed to like tough it out and just serve without the inducement of love. Just then it's more like some kind of, I don't know, just sort of like stern Kantian moral imperative. Thou shalt serve. We serve where there's affection, we serve. Or there's appreciation. Or compassion. Not something like that, that just to serve based on some cold principle that we should serve. It's the shouldness of it that's important. No, we're people, we're persons. We serve because we recognize something that's worthy to serve. It's an inspiration. Prabhupada always stressed that it should be based on enthusiasm and inspiration. Yeah, as you get older, Krishna conscious, you don't feel guilty because you're a person. Like, somehow when you're young, you have this sort of, this artificial goal that you're supposed to just purify yourself of any nature, of any propensities, of any preferences. But that's not Krishna consciousness. I mean, you are what you are. Krishna made you as a person. That's just what you are. It's who you are. So, you know, to live with it. That's what you are. You're a person. And so the issue is not, it's not that it's bad that you're a person. You have your own preferences. You just have to, you should love Krishna because he's lovable and then dedicate everything to Krishna. If I say, well, this is who I am, but I love Krishna. And so whatever I am, whoever I am, I want to dedicate all of my acts to Krishna. This is who I am, but I want to dedicate it all to Krishna. I want him to be the enjoyer of my nature, in the sense that because of my nature, I work in a particular way, I live in a certain way, because that's who I am. But I want to dedicate all that. I want to dedicate myself, my life, to Krishna. I want it to truly be for his pleasure. And then, of course, in dedicating ourselves to Krishna, we have to understand Krishna's own preferences. For example, we now know, through Prabhupada, a pure devotee, that Lord Chaitanya wishes to spread his Sankirtan movement. And the Sankirtan movement has certain parameters. There's certain moral principles, like the four regular principles, there's a proper philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya wants to spread the Sankirtan movement. Prabhupada is guiding us in that service. And so whoever, whatever I am, I'll offer myself to Krishna. But I offer myself to Krishna specifically within the duties and the opportunities of a Sankirtan movement. So, for example, let's say I have a propensity to write, but I'm not just writing and then whatever I write, say, okay, it's for Krishna. That would be more like karma yoga. Rather, bhakti yoga, I'm thinking, well, how can I write, what can I write that will really fulfill Prabhupada's wishes as a pure devotee? And therefore, I know that it will please Lord Chaitanya. So, I'm acting on my propensities, but in a way which, according to higher authorities, will please Krishna. And I'm focusing that within the Sankirtan movement. I have to admit, it sort of surprises me sometimes. I will talk to some devotees who maybe are not, as we say, totally broiling in the fire of Sankirtan. And they'll say, like, yeah, I want to, like, go do this or go do that, like, you know, medicine or law. And it's just almost for its own sake. Yeah, I really want to teach English as a second language. Why? Oh, I don't know. I just really enjoy that. I have to admit, I think, wasn't there a Sankirtan movement or something? Of course, I mean, you could do that. Prabhupada was a pharmacist. But it seems to me that our real enthusiasm should be whatever we do, like Prabhupada, it should be really, I'm doing this, why am I doing this? Because somehow or other, given my situation, a household, or just whatever, given my circumstances, I have to do something like this, but I really want to get to Krishna. Ultimately, my real... So we should have serious goals in life as to how we want to serve Prabhupada and Krishna. Not just do whatever we get. I sort of do what I want, and then at the end say, okay, but, you know, it's for Krishna, it's an offering. It's nice, but it's... We should think, okay, here's my nature, here's my propensity, here's Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. How do we connect these? How do I live a life that's natural and satisfying for me? Because there's no real glory in being unnatural and frustrated. So how can I live a life that's natural and satisfying for me and live that life in such a way that if I make the maximum contribution possible to Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement? Given who I am, and given what Lord Chaitanya's movement is, what's the best I can do? So, any other point? Yeah, I was never really into martyrdom. And like, I'm going to martyr myself in the sense of ignore my nature, ignore my everything, and just martyr myself for the cause of service. It's nice when you're a young devotee and just learning bhakti yoga, but ultimately, you have to have a career for Krishna. You have to find a natural career for yourself. Something you really want to do for Krishna. Really inspires you. Like, you love to do this for Krishna.
Well, I might ask, love is a compromise. I mean, I guess it's with, like, a mundane relationship. But, like, I want to do something, you want to do something, so, okay, so we'll compromise with Krishna.
But in the case of Krishna, Krishna only desires what's best for us. In a mundane relationship, I may say, okay, you want to do this, but I want to do that. I want to do that because that's just what my needs are, and you want to do this because those are your needs. But in the case of Krishna, he doesn't have any needs. He's self-satisfied, and so in the case of Krishna, he's not asking us to do something because it may not be what you wanted, but Krishna just has these needs. Everything that Krishna asks us to do, he asks us to do because it's best for us. That's why Krishna is the best possible friend, because he's a completely selfless friend. When you have a friend that's completely self-satisfied, and then that friend doesn't need you, is not using you. As soon as I need something from you, then I can't only think about your interest. I have to think about my need also. Like, whatever else you want to do today, I'm hungry. I mean, in the case of Krishna, because he has no needs, he's infinitely self-satisfied. Therefore, Krishna has the luxury of thinking only about what's best for you. So in your relationship with Krishna, as far as compromising on your side, at the present time, it's like you go into a gym. You are in a particular state, physical state, like so much or so little in shape, and then based on your condition now, you begin to challenge yourself a little bit and exercise. To exercise yourself means that you go a little bit beyond what is completely comfortable and easy. Because if you only do what is comfortable and easy, then there's no exercise. So in our spiritual life, we have to, you know, it's like a workout. You lift too much weight, you're just going to end up hurting yourself. You try to stretch too far in yoga, you hurt yourself. You don't make any effort, you don't benefit yourself. So it's just a question of knowing that this is my condition now, this is who I am, these are my impurities. So given this, my condition, my real condition, what is the best I can do for Krishna? And how much can I lift, how much can I stretch to be unselfish, to be devoted, how far can I go where I'm really getting a good workout and not just destroying myself? This is practical. Given my condition, what's the very best I can do for Krishna? And then just do that. Sustainable lifestyle.
In a society like ISKCON, so variety, of course, there are often conflicting views. Everybody feels that he's doing the best for Krishna.
Well, then you get a personal trainer. I mean, if you really have a good personal trainer, it's pretty objective. If you have a spiritual personal trainer that has some maturity and experience, there's just clearly there's different kinds of exercise, and you can talk to 100 personal trainers, get 100 different programs, and they emphasize different things. But still, they're all going to agree on a lot about certain basic facts of the matter. And I've seen this actually in discussion with other leaders. Like sometimes, I mean, it comes up that there's some devotee we have to deal with on some issue, some problem, and then maybe I'll consult with other mature devotees that are involved with that person. And usually everyone sees the same picture. If someone's ideological or dogmatic, that becomes impedes sort of an objective consensus. But among people that aren't attached, that don't have some ideological axe to grind, that are just being practical, then I find that with other leaders, we usually agree. It's usually pretty obvious, yeah. This is the problem, this is the solution.
So the compromise made between devotees should be what is the best possible.
It's not really a compromise, it's just, I don't see it as a compromise, I just see it as being practical. If two people have to work together, whether it's in a marriage or in some, it's temple service, whatever it is, if two people have to work together, and they both have their needs and limitations, you just figure out, you could say a compromise, not in the pejorative sense, but just in the sense of, you know, find a situation, establish ground rules that just allow everybody to do the best they can. Because if I'm in a situation, I just, because of my conditioning, I have a material body, I have a history in this world, and so because of all these factors, I just have certain needs which ultimately, when I'm more pure, will not be needs, but at this point in my life, they are. And my emotional and even, you know, emotional, my mental, or intellectual, or spiritual, even medical stability may depend upon just finding some moderate path, as Krishna says. So if you go to a gym to work out and the trainer says, don't lift 20 pounds here, only lift 10 pounds, you say it's a compromise, it's just practical. It's just what the best weight to lift to become as healthy as possible. It's just being practical. What's my condition? What's the best exercise for me?
But if you have a teammate.
Yeah. If you have a teammate that has certain needs, it's just practical. This person has certain limitations, we all do. And in order to get the job done, I have to work around something or accept something because it's just practical. It's just what I need to do to get the job done. And if you're focused on the service itself, Prabhupada needs this done. In order to get it done, I've got to work with another person a certain way. It's just practical. It's like if I'm driving my car and there's another driver in front of me going a little slowly, that's just practical. I just have to go at that speed so I can get around that person. And because this is the road I have to take. So to me, it's not about... of course, we should be concerned about serving Krishna as purely as possible, but we also have to be realistic and practical. You know, things are what they are. Given the way things are, what's the best service to do for Krishna? What's the best thing I can do for my own spiritual liberation? My own Krishna consciousness and to help the world, given the real situation, what's the best I can do here? I mean, the whole material world's a compromise. So, but here we are. So Prabhupada said, make the best use of a bad bargain. In a sense, we have to practice whatever yoga. In a sense that, and there has to be a type of Krishna conscious stoicism. I do my best. I'm not indifferent. I really want to serve Krishna. I want to see the pure devotee's desires fulfilled. But I do my best. And then at the end of the day, it's like, whatever, I did my best. If I know in my heart I really did my best, then it goes to the whatever platform. I haven't tried my best, but I could have done better for Krishna. Then, of course, I have not earned the right to stand on the whatever platform. You have to earn your whatevers.